The Bible says in the Christmas story here in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, or it's on the front of your bulletin this week, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is one of the most famous of all the Christmas verses in the Bible. And I want to preach about this verse tonight, verse 14, for a little while. And looking at my notes, I do think this will be a short sermon, but that doesn't mean anything. I've said that before. But you notice the Bible says here in verse number 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, two things, peace towards men and goodwill towards men. And I want to speak tonight on the subject of the Christmas spirit directed towards man. The Christmas spirit directed towards man. I want you to notice two spirits that we are supposed to direct towards man, according to this verse. Glory to God in the highest. I really should preach on that because he's so worthy. But then it says, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Literally written, it's peace towards men and goodwill towards men. That's the Christmas spirit, showing peace towards men and showing goodwill towards men. And there was a very famous hymn written based on this verse, sadly by a Unitarian Universalist named Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, but even a broken clock's right twice a day. I'm not a Unitarian Universalist just because I'm going to quote this song. I don't believe in their doctrine at all. I'm a Baptist. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing fundamental Baptist Christian. Fundamental and Baptist basically mean the same thing. It means by the book. Biblical doctrine, that's what that means. Unitarian Universalists do not believe that. Nevertheless, he wrote these words. He said, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the days had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then, ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant, sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I want you to notice the third verse is often how you and I feel. We can feel the agony of his soul as he lived back in the 1800s. As he said this, and it reiterates often in our souls, he says, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And there are times when we lose hope in the human race or even in the church that we belong to, and we begin to recuse ourselves, we begin to recluse ourselves and withdraw. We withdraw from society. We withdraw from church. I see that happen even in our own church where people lose faith in human beings. And they just begin to withdraw. And they begin to withdraw maybe into a world of fantasy or a world of delusion or a world of some other realm where they don't have to deal with human beings. But God wants us to have the spirit of Christmas that is spelled out in the Bible, not so much just in the psalm, but in Luke chapter 2 here and verse number 14. Okay, there it is. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He wanted us to glorify God, and this is the angels on that Christmas morning when The babe was born in a manger, telling the shepherds to go, and you're gonna see. And this multitude of the heavenly host began praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You notice two directives towards men, peace and goodwill. I believe peace is a condition that is settled in the heart of a person towards his fellow man. And goodwill is the outward expression of his love towards his fellow man. We are told 12 times in the New Testament to love one another. To love one another. Do you have peace in your heart towards your fellow man? It's very important that we examine ourselves tonight about that issue right there. In fact, keep your place here. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 16. I just want to show you how important it is to be at peace with your fellow man. Then I'll try to just go back to God as our example and explain what this means. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 in verse number 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, in the light of that scripture, all of a sudden this thing about peace becomes very, very important. There are a lot of people who are at contention with their fellow man, even those they disagree with. We do need to earnestly contend for the faith. I touched on that a little bit this morning. We ought to use the means of apologetics to defend our faith, to not apologize in the sense for being a Christian, but apologetics means to defend your faith, to contend for your faith. But we can contend for our faith without being contentious. Are you at peace with your fellow man? I know church members who are not at peace with other church members. They dislike other church members. And they would like to convince themselves that that's okay, God understands. In fact, God sides with me. Why wouldn't he? And he's not like that at all. God wants us to be at peace. When a man's ways please the Lord, I don't care if you want to call yourself a hardcore fundamentalist or what do you want to call yourself, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We can disagree with those who are Hindus and those that are Muslims and those that are Buddhists and those that are Mormons or whatever it be. We can contend for our faith. We can do it without compromising. But we can also do it in a spirit that we are at least at peace with them. We can disagree with homosexual behavior. And we can try to be the salt of the earth and try to stop the propagation of that or any other kind of sin or lifestyle that's contrary to the Bible and to the holiness of God. But that doesn't mean we can't be at peace with people who we are totally opposed to their lifestyle. We need to understand this. This is the Christmas spirit. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Or rather, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Peace towards men. And we ought to have thoughts of peace. The Bible says God has thoughts of peace towards us. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9. I want to show you again the Christmas spirit, this time in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, again, gives us quite an insight on this subject of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those that are the most like God Like father, like son. Those that are the most like God are the peacemakers. You and I might be saved, but we are not like our Father in heaven if we are always contentious, if we're always sharp, if we're always fighting with others, if we're always battling with family members, if we're always fighting with spouse, husband, or wife, if we're always short with the store clerk, or short with the waitress, or short with the waiter, or irritated with the church member, we can be saved, but let's not pretend we're like the Father. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that love to make peace with other people because they are like the children of God. Because when you go beyond what it's saying, our duty is here to have peace toward all men, you look no farther than the Father for our example and the Son, and everything that they have done is so that they can make peace with mankind. God doesn't want to fight with people. God wants to reconcile everybody unto himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Notice he did it first. The word reconcile means to take people who were previously enemies and make them friends. It says, God reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, there's Christmas, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. So notice God is at work trying to get man to be at peace with him. He is the one who is the strongest, the greatest. He is the one who takes the first step. He's not the one to wait for somebody to try to be at peace with him first. He's the one who takes the first step at trying to make peace with his enemies. God was in Christ reconciling the world to him, trying to get all of his enemies to come back to him and be saved and be his friends. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. God is the one who went the extra mile to make peace with us through reconciliation, by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his blood. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." So notice all these efforts God's making to have peace with us. God made all of these efforts to make peace with the human race. Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Do you see here how God is a peacemaker? God is a peacemaker. "Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." That's why it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." In other words, that's what God does. And if you're going to be a spitting image of your Father, you need to be a peacemaker. Peace, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. And I think we can win some people to Christ that way by opposing their religion, opposing their behavior, but doing it in a Christ-like spirit with a tear in our eye, trying to get them saved, trying to get them to be saved. And the same towards those that are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I think one of the secrets to living in peace with people who are saved is this. And this is what I'm about ready to say is one of the hardest things I have. One of the hardest things there is for me to practice. But I have found that you do not have to like everything about a person to love them. You don't have to like everything about a person, but you have to love them. You see? Now, I know people who aren't attending this church right now because they don't like something about a particular person in this church. That's shallow. That's shallow. Advanced Christianity is when we can love a person even though they have characteristics about them we do not like. That's advanced Christianity. When we can love a person who has characteristics that we do not like. You see, there's a difference between disliking the character, the person, and disliking the characteristic that they see. And above all of that is love. We think that there's an asterisk by those 12 commandments in the New Testament. 12 times it says this, love one another. We think all 12 times there's a little asterisk there that says at the bottom, if you like them. Love them if you like them. No, God says love them if you don't like them. Even if you don't like characteristics of them. I have come to realize in my own life I have blind spots. I have faults about me I do not see. I am completely unaware of them. I don't even know they exist. But some of you, it grates against your nerves. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. You say, why doesn't he change? And I've realized many, many times in my life that there's other people just like that in our church. Like there's the one thing about them, the one thing about her. And you say, boy, if they could just change that one thing, but they don't even see it. But the Christmas spirit on earth, peace, an inward attitude of the heart, peace toward all men. Even those that have that one or two characteristics we don't like. So we need to quit trying to, justify our unloving spirit. And get the Christmas spirit, which is on earth peace, goodwill toward all men. And loving one another. And I believe that's the secret to living in peace with people, is loving them. Loving them. Asking God to help you love them, praying for that person, praying for their fault, knowing that you also have faults that probably drive somebody on earth nuts. There's probably one person that just thinks, man, why didn't she change? Why didn't he change? And you would want people to love you, right? You would want people to love you until you change about that. I think that's the secret. Then it says goodwill toward men. Whereas peace toward all men is a matter more settled in the heart. That's what I mean by that is when you see that person coming toward you, you say, okay, I'm going to dislike the characteristic, but I'm not going to dislike the person. I'm going to love the person. I'm going to love the person. Because the fact is, we just happen to need that person around the body of Christ because they have something to offer. A lot of times, if we'll just see all the good a person's doing, sometimes it helps you put up with one or two bad things that kind of rub you the wrong way. And you can do the same thing with a pastor. You know, if you look at the good he's doing, sometimes you can overlook the one or two things that he just doesn't seem to ever see. What's wrong with him? This will bring peace into your home, kids. Look at mom and dad. They got a few things about them. Maybe you don't. Did you ever meet quirky people? You know, there's once in a while there's church members just quirky. It's kind of like, you know, why don't you just grow up a little? Why don't you just grow up a little? They've got this quirkiness about them. But you know, the church needs that person. They need their gifts. They need their contributions. And love is what helps you put up with that person. That's why the Bible says forbearing one another in love. The word forbearing means putting up with one another. Do you think Jesus disliked a few of the characteristics that he saw in the 12 that he chose and ordained that they would be with him? Do you think there was a few things about those guys that he saw that he really didn't like? You think so? But he loved them, right? He loved them. Don't ever think because you don't like somebody, you don't have to love them. Let's get on to advanced Christianity 201. I've got to love this person. And that helps. That helps me when, you know, I see a person that, you know, they got that thing in him or her or whatever that just kind of grates on me a little, but then I can overrule that by letting the Holy Spirit remind me and prompt me, Art, you got to love him. You got to love her. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. Go ahead, try if the opportunity comes up and expose that fault, if it's really that important, see if you can get them to be a better Christian or testimony, but love them anyways. Goodwill towards men, on the other hand, is about a kind intent or benevolence, whereas peace on earth is a matter more settled in the heart. Goodwill toward man is more exercised outwardly. When it says here in our text, goodwill toward men, that phrase goodwill comes from the same Greek word that is translated into the English word desire in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Now listen, Paul's goodwill here towards men in Romans 10 and verse number 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire, that's the same word, same Greek word, that's goodwill toward men. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved. Paul's saying, brethren, my heart's desire, my heart's goodwill and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See, goodwill toward men. I think one of the greatest ways we can show goodwill towards men is by being a soul winner. By no matter what sin they're involved in, and we were just talking about RU up in the men's meeting and how, you know, some of the people who are involved in some of the grossest of sins, they don't want to be. That's why we call them addicts. They're addicted. They want liberty. They want to be set free. They're not happy with themselves. They're not proud. And I met a man recently that destroyed his life, destroyed his marriage, destroyed his ministry. He'll never be in the ministry again. I shook hands with him at the cantata, and I just said, you know, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and praying for you. I want to be his friend. It grieves me what he did. Lost his marriage, lost his ministry, everything's gone. Man, you talk about a guy, when I looked in his eyes Friday night, the hurt in his eyes. Man, I used to have fellowship with. Nobody's ever proud of what they do when that happens. We need to show goodwill toward men. You know, that guy can make a comeback. He'll never be a pastor again, never. He could be a soul winner. He could be a prayer warrior. We need to have goodwill towards men. Those that are even involved in the grossest sins that grieve us, we got to be burdened for their souls. That's goodwill towards men. Goodwill is soul winning. The same phrase comes up in a soul winning text in the book of Philippians when it says this in Philippians 1 and verse 15. Paul said, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Some preach Christ of goodwill, goodwill toward men. They preach Christ. That's the greatest way we can show goodwill towards men, is preaching Christ to them. We need to be soul winners. This thing about goodwill is again something, just as we said, peace. God set the example by everything he did was to make peace with man. He allowed his son to be crucified on the cross so man could be reconciled. God is a peacemaker. We ought to follow his example and be a peacemaker. But God is also a God of goodwill. You know, God, if I can say this correctly without any irreverence, he just likes helping people. That's his nature. God just likes helping people. In fact, I could make a case from the Bible, God likes helping animals. He really does. Study out how he takes care of the animals. God is just a God whose nature is he just likes helping people. Did you ever see God help some wicked sinner? I have. It's confused me sometimes. Say, why would he do that for this person? He just likes helping people. God would be the guy that drives around, helps people out of the ditch, helps people change flat tires. Helps people fix up their house or whatever. Mows the lawn for a widow. Those are the things he'd do. Not trying to bring them down to our level, but when Moses was talking about the 12 tribes, just before Moses died, he gave these blessings on the 12 tribes. This is what he said to Joseph. He said in Deuteronomy 33:13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Who dwelt in the bush? Relating to Moses, who dwelt in the bush? God. He says, and of the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Moses recognized that God was a God of goodwill. He was a God of goodwill. He just likes doing good to members of the human race. Saved or lost, rich or poor, no matter what country they're from or what religion there is. He just likes doing good to them. And that goodness of God leads us to repentance. Ephesians 6, 7 tells us, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Christianity, basic Christianity, is doing good to people. Doing good to people. Galatians 6 and verses 9 and 10 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This is Christmas. Christmas is an inner attitude. It says, I got to do my part. As it said in Romans, as much as liveth in you, lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Maybe he doesn't want to live at peace with me. Maybe the person's in sin. Maybe the person's of a different political persuasion, a different religious persuasion. Maybe they don't want to live at peace with me, but as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those are the ones that are really like God. Some of us need to make peace with some others who have some characteristics we don't like. Some men don't like women. They need to change. Some women don't like men. They need to change. Some church members don't like church members. They need to change. Live at peace. Get our hearts right towards all men, and then do good. Goodwill toward all men. Who can I help? Not to get applause, not to get attention. Person might not even get saved, but it's just right to help somebody. It's just right to do good to someone, for someone else. Shovel someone's snow. Help them out of a ditch. Visit a lonely person. Bake something and take it to somebody else. Lead someone to Christ. Pray for someone. Write someone a letter. Give somebody something. Make a phone call. Say, I've been thinking about you. Support them in their ministry. Get a ministry to help other people or whatever. Goodwill toward men was announced by the angels as the Christmas spirit. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. The Christmas spirit announced by the angels was peace toward all men, goodwill toward all men. Are you at odds with somebody? I think God wants you to be a peacemaker. See, but man, you don't know what the person did to me. Yeah, but it doesn't mean you have to go back into that person's life and get hurt again or anything, but you got to make peace in your soul with that person. We crucified Christ. I crucified Christ with my sins, and he acts like I'm his best friend. That's astounding if you think about it. I killed him, and he acts like I'm his best friend. Talks to me every day, walks with me every day, holds me by my right hand. What a God. He's a peacemaker. And we're his children. We need to be peacemakers. Are you at odds with anybody? Are you at odds with anybody tonight? Come to this altar. Take this up before the Lord. And then goodwill towards men. Have you recused yourself? Have you reclused yourself? Have you gone off into hibernation and isolation and you're not doing anything for your fellow man anymore? We need to get back to doing goodwill towards all men. Father, bless now our application of the Word of God tonight in our prayer time and in our invitation this evening, that we would really capture what the Christmas spirit announced by the angels is directed towards our fellow man. In Jesus' name, amen.